Hill Control G for a new case, and then pick up Young. And now you're already recording Young in the case. Other things you can do if you don't even care about the control keys is just hit timestamp. You just want to mark an event in time in here. So you can mark an event in time, and then later when you've got time, you can come back here and literally click on it and now add annotation, you know. And if you misspell something, which I probably will here pretty soon, you can go back in and fix your spelling on there. So all we're doing is just keeping some timestamps in real time of what happened as this actually occurs. Any other questions on that about the how quick you can go between cases or?
These microphones, are they all like that? Do they all have that little bar?
Most of them do. They don't have to have bars.
Okay, because if you put it on an attorney's table, like you said, they'll purposely put something on there or accidentally, and then you're not going to be able to get the testimony. Yeah. You won't know because you're not watching their microphone.
But you could have the monitoring unit.
Right, but
yeah, but she wants to be doing other things.
Yeah.
She doesn't want to watch this microphone.
Like, for example, right, if I put it on here, you'll see
two go down another.
That's not what you want to be doing. That's not your job, is to monitor with
us. Yes, I was wondering if there was something that
yeah,
far.
Yeah, if you don't want
that. Fine for the judge, so he gets to even stop recording himself.
Yeah, it could be either way. Some want it, some don't, some want even other type of scenarios where there's a button down here that they press to do that. Yeah. We've seen all the other ways.
How far is the range of the microphones? Like if the judge is there in the jury box?
The rule that, what I say, what we do, we try to design the audio capture system to pick up, to try not to leave dead spots. That's the whole thing. But in saying that, and knowing how some of these lawyers act, I guess would be the best way I'll say it, you still have to adhere to normal court proceedings. And what we typically say is, if you can speak in a normal voice or in a voice that the judge can understand what was being said, then the sound system will pick it up. If the judge didn't understand what was being said and he doesn't ask for it to be repeated, there is a chance that the sound system will not also understand what was being said. So we try to use a rule that you need to speak in a normal voice that the judge can understand without any sound reinforcement between these two places, and then the sound system should be more than adequate, more than sensitive enough to pick it up. Yeah, the point I was getting at, I have sense of, well, it's not picking me up when I'm turning around facing the public area. I'm going, didn't put a microphone back there, you know, I'm sorry. You know, you're supposed to be talking to the judge and the jury. And
the,
you know.
Unidirectional?
Yeah, they're unit, you can do different things based on how you know, that's what we normally do. We'll custom the system. These are unidirectional. It's about 120 degrees is what it picks up. So one microphone back far enough here on the table, we'll pick them up when they're standing, especially, and moving around. And what we'll typically do is put a microphone on the front of the bench, not only for conference, but if they start walking through this is typically the dead area right here, where they start walking in here, either walking up to the witness or walking.
Those chairs over there.
Yeah.
Pick them up?
We would design a system that would. This is where, who would be sitting over here? And so that's where they're going to speak from?
Yep.
And then we need to put something over there that would pick them up. Yeah. Which there's enough microphones in the RFP. You're asking for 8 microphones per courtroom. So we put the proper mix in, and then we'll do different things. Like on the witness, sometimes, you know, again, it's how the judge runs his court. Some places the lawyers are not allowed to approach the witness, right? Some they are. So if they're allowed to approach the witness, and now they've got out of this mic range, and now they're real close, what we'll do is put an omnidirectional mic on the witness stand. So it'll pick up both parties. So now it's a circular pattern for the witness mic. on the judge's bench, we typically put a unidirectional for the judge. It's important to figure out what he's saying most of the time. And then we'll put another microphone on the
I've been bench. In a courtroom where the witness stand has a mic on a hook that's
yeah.
dropped on the witness yeah. with a 15-foot cord.
I've seen
yeah.
Yeah. judges with wireless mics.
Yeah. I've been there too.
Don't turn it off.
It goes twing.
Yeah. Don't turn off the wireless. Sound system's on. Not good. So, yeah, there's all those different type of areas there. Playback was one of the other things that we had talked about. Obviously, there's a playback button here. So hitting that just brings up the playback system. What it does, since it's all database-driven, it actually went right into the session already. So you don't have to go look for the audio file or anything. It's already there. You just click on annotations. There's a couple things you could do. You could, if you look at this right now, it said that we started this particular case at 11:52:56, and we've got up to 11:58:42 in audio right now. And if we clicked on annotations, it'd bring up all the annotations for this case that we've made. And if we just click on that, that's where the audio is.
Just
and we're still recording as we're playing this
so
back.
If you mark an event in time, and then later when you've got time, you can come back here.
You got your volume control here.
And
you can actually, this has a different type of speed. It doesn't change the sound.
And if you misspell something,
it tries to expand the space that's between the words.
Is it recording the playback?
Yeah, what we normally do is it's only recording it as far as it coming out of the speaker and going back into the microphones. And what happens then, and we'll go over here and play
that, just brings up the playback system. What it does, since it's all database driven, 56, it changes the sound.
Sometimes we'll put it directly in the recording. The reason we doesn't, because it's already recorded before. So what we really want to pick up is what's being said about the playback. That's what's more important than the actual playback, because you've already transcribed it, or you've already listened to it. So what's more important is what's being argued about the playback. So we typically don't put that in there. Sometimes what we'll do is we'll put it in a separate channel. Put just the playback in a separate channel. So if you wanted to isolate just the playback, you could. But most people never seen a need for that feature. They prefer it just to be background. So now it's lower. Yes, we are playing back in there. And when you click it on here, we'll also do that what time we started playback and when we stopped playback. So there's an indication here that there's playback actually occurred during this portion here. But the real fact is it just jumps right in here. If you wanted to
Kern County use this in their preliminary hearings?
Say again?
Does Kern County use this in their preliminary hearings?
Kern County doesn't have it installed yet, but they're using it in all of their courtrooms in the 1215 Troxon system, where they currently have an 8-track reel-to-reel system. So they're replacing their 8-track reel-to-reel. There's 11 courtrooms, there's traffic, and there's I forgot what the department numbers are.
But they don't use Shelton?
No. Not that no, I think that's over in the 1415 courthouse right now, I think is where they're doing. I know what I don't know where they get their, they have a different law they're looking at that they have to monitor the recorded audio outside of the courtroom by another person. I don't know where they got that, but that's what they're doing. So they're actually in a central control room listening to audio in all, actually 17 courtrooms.
So what kind of cases would you use this for? The misdemeanor? For not felonies, so you're still going to have
Judge
Sanders. So is that a court reporter?
The cases that you have to be required by a statute to have
court. Right. Could support them if they wanted to use it as support.
Cases would be
yeah.
court, it's basically replacing what's downstairs in courtroom one.
I know there's some work by some out there to move it into the felony courts, but, you know.
Well, there's an appeal, and the sixth district wants a transcript. That's just done by a typist somewhere, huh?
Yeah, you could do that. It's according how you want to, I've seen a thousand different ways based on how the court wants to run their process.
Somebody has to listen to the tape.
Right. I mean, regardless, typically, as the way I understand, if you're going to have appeal, you got to have a certified transcript. You're going to, that's the way I've always been told. So if you're going, I mean, to actually go to the appeal or to create the, to start the appeal, you don't need a certified transcript, but to actually appeal the verdict or whatever, you do have to have a certified transcript. So you'd have to go to a court reporter that would certify, or transcriptionist that was, according to how the county is set up. I know like in Arizona, they now have to be state certified, but they're grandfathered under, if they already had a court reporter certificate, they can now certify it. And they've just finished a test where they can now, a court reporter can certify audio as without physically, because the problem is, I think the way the law says it, is the person that actually certifies the transcript is supposed to physically be in the courtroom, I think is the way it is, the technical part. And that's, I mean, the court reporters for, you know, isn't that, y'all have that? Like I said, as I go to different states, I get different
court
answers.
Reporters in the courtroom, I mean.
Yeah, but the question is, could the court reporter certify a digital audio recording as a transcript? And that's kind of been the rub a little bit.
Well, because digital recording is the official record.
Okay, then that can be done. That's where Arizona's kind of working with the court reporters. That's kind of a little rub right now is, and I think it's proven to the court reporters that they can feel comfortable certifying a digital audio record, and they acting because they're doing the certification, obviously. So
this is archiving on a hard drive while we're talking, right?
Yes.
Can it also archive to a CD at the same time?
It can. Another point of view, from my engineering point of view, I don't recommend that, but it can do that. The software can do that. You can set up a preference to write to another. When you do that, you're just copying audio. That's all you can stream to another media like that. From my standpoint, a CDR is not designed to be a direct write device. It's designed to be a copy device. That's why they go up to 24x now, so you can just copy stuff audio. What we recommend, when the way the software is set up originally, is you want to manage the audio. So what we do is we export the audio. It's what we call export the audio to CD or to tape, or by tape I mean DAT, not cassette. On a bigger scale, because what we wanted to do is manage the audio. So as we do that, we'll actually write in the database where the audio went. And what that does is, when you click on this case, you do a search, bring up the case, it'll physically tell you in the database that this audio has been archived into CD 26-24 or whatever, however, what naming convention you have. So you still have a database on here to search, to look for defendants, to look through cases, to look through everything. And then if the data physically wasn't on the hard drive, it would tell you that. So it's a way to manage the audio. It's a little more important on a server solution, where all the audio is on a central server, and then now either IT or somebody else, a central person, is doing the archiving of all the audio from all the courtrooms. And we really say archiving, because I know if I say backup to you, that's a whole different world. And what we do is, in the client server, we partition the server and put the database where the database is always backed up under the standard IT backup procedures, because that's not a very large file. The audio we partition out of that IT backup, and now we'll go on and archive the audio off. And what it does is, it allows you in the client server, if you try to delete that audio, it'll tell you this audio has never been archived. Can't delete it. We ain't going to delete it until you archive it.
Okay, we just had court, and tomorrow somebody comes in and says, I need a copy. I'm going to appeal on that Chris's case. Chris comes in and wants to Fields, and he wants a copy of all of the audio recording that was done today from him.
Okay. How do you do that, right?